Pop quiz. And this is a judgment-free question. By show of raising your hand, how many of you still have your Christmas tree up? How many of you took it down already? Okay, so there's always a bit of a mix, right? Technically, from a liturgical perspective, there are 12 days in the season of Christmas. So if you were going to be a purist, you would put your tree up on the 24th and take it down on the 6th. But I personally love to have the tree up, and I love the lights, and I don't care what anybody says. But if it's up till June, you have a problem. When we lived in Michigan, we shared a backyard with several different houses, and there was a bachelor who lived sort of across the backyard, and he kept his up till June. And we thought, okay, that's too much. But it is a festive time, and obviously here at Bethel, we still have our decorations up celebrating the season of Christmas. And a few weeks ago, our children, led by Amanda, had their program depicting the story of Jesus. And inevitably, these programs, these Christmas pageants, always have the shepherds and the wise men coming to see baby Jesus together, right? But if you read scripture closely, the Gospel of Matthew features our wise men or magi who show up after seeing the star at its rising, traveling a great distance. The shepherds are there the night of. Chances are, I'm just going to say, they never crossed paths. The shepherds and wise men made separate visits. And today we want to talk about these magi. Why they are important, why they are remembered and featured in the gospel account of Jesus' birth, and what they might have to share with us. Now, in many cultures, January 6th, which is the day of Epiphany, is held in such high esteem. In many cases, it's celebrated even more than Christmas itself. My previous congregation in Minnesota, which, by the way, we went to last week, and I can confirm, it's cold. January 6th is known as Three Kings Day, and we rented space in that congregation to Mexican-American church. They rented space, and they had a big party, and they invited us to be part of that party for the Three Kings Day, and it was a spectacle. Games, presents, food, of course, and it was just really cool to be part of a Three Kings festival, and I think highlighting the importance of these wise men. By the way, they bring presents to baby Jesus, which is why we share presents on Christmas, because of their example. So who were these magi? It says they came from the east. Most people kind of locate them in modern-day Iraq, and they traveled to Jerusalem and subsequently Bethlehem to see this child, this Christ child, the Messiah that was said to be born. So the Magi, first of all, were not Jewish, and yet they believed that God would send a Messiah into this world that would not just be for the Jewish people, but would be for all people. The Magi were studiers of the night sky. They believed God communicated to humanity through the movement of the stars. And so they studied the stars, and they were waiting for a very specific event in the night sky to take place. That the Messiah, there would be sort of this star that rose, what we call the Star of David, the star that rose that would signal that this child had been born. And so the Magi were waiting and watching. They were expecting God to show up in this very particular way. And when they saw it, they took action. They immediately left their life behind and began this incredible journey to find the child, to find the Messiah that had been born for the world. And they go to Jerusalem and they interact with Herod, who we'll get to in a minute, and they find out that they should go to Bethlehem. and they follow the star, and they find the child. And they are filled with great joy, and they bring him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, each having its own inherent value, but also symbolically testifying to the story of Jesus. Gold was a gift fitting for a king. Frankincense is an incense that was used in worship, connotating the presence of God, the divine. And myrrh, it was a spice or an ointment used to cover a dead body. And so the sense that this child was going to be the king of all kings, was God incarnate, and that his journey ultimately would go to the cross. The wise men intuitively understood the whole breadth and depth of Jesus' story and his life and what it meant for them and for us. And so we can learn from the wise men to expect that in our life, God will act. We watch and we wait, attune our eyes to what's happening around us, and when we see that God is at work, we take the appropriate actions. Now, at the end of this account, they give baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph, these gifts. The gold would have been especially helpful for them as they're beginning their life together as a family. It says, the wise men were warned in a dream to go a different way home. Now, they go home, and they're certainly going to be sharing this story of the Christ child that had been born, about what God was doing. They become kind of witnesses or evangelists for Jesus. But also, they go a different way home to avoid Herod. Herod, the Jewish king from a line of kings, who sort of fakes being interested in paying homage to this child, born to be king of the Jews. Well, Herod is king. He's not interested, as we heard last week, if you were joined with us, the slaughter of the innocents, a horrific story in Scripture, how Herod, finding out that this child had been born, and approximately when, and orders the murder of all male children 2 and under. Herod isn't wanting to give homage to this Christ child. He's threatened. He's paranoid. He's so filled with anxiety about losing his power that he does the unspeakable. And so the wise men, warned in a dream, go home by a different route. They avoid Herod altogether. And that's really the point that I got kind of fixated on this week, that the wise men not only were waiting and watching and expecting God to show up, but they had the wisdom, they're wise men, to go home by a different route. That somehow, in the midst of the most spectacular good news that could ever take place, that the Christ child that was promised, that the Messiah who would deliver God's people, that would bring God's kingdom to become a reality in this world, that good news would also be surrounded by a powerful, paranoid, evil king. And that is somehow encapsulates what it means to be a person of faith in this world. That yes, it is true. We have God's love. We have God's grace. We are surrounded by good things. But there are also darkness and evil all around us, and we have to navigate it. I was reminded of Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel, the two sons of Adam and Eve. And they had this inherent rivalry. And Cain has an animosity toward his brother. And God sees it. And God says, why has your countenance fallen upon your brother? And it says, sin is lurking at the door, and its desire is for you. But you can master it. Now, yada, 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 we know how that story goes. But it goes to this sense that in this world, as people of faith, we have to navigate our way through darkness. And there's darkness within us, and there's darkness all around us. The wise men are warned in a dream to go a different way home, and they do. Similarly, we too are given signs and hints from God of how to navigate our way through darkness. Darkness within and darkness around us. The season of Epiphany in our church begins today and will go for several weeks. And you'll notice next week that our pyramids, not to get too nerdy on you, will go from white to green. And in the season of the church, the green indicates a time of spiritual growth, a time for us to return to the fundamentals of our faith and to commit ourselves to growing. So one of the biggest things we can do, of course, is immerse ourselves in God's Word, to read the Scriptures. Because, of course, it is in the Scriptures that we find God's promises to us, God's assurance of salvation, but also we encounter the story of the faithful, that over the generations, God worked through ordinary people to do extraordinary things. People like you and I, people who were flawed, people who made mistakes, and yet God somehow worked in them to accomplish God's work in the world. And when we read God's Word, when we're immersed in it, when we can understand the big picture and also the specific things, we also can discern God's Word from the words of the world. Because what happens when we are disconnected from the Word of God, we can be misled. Misinformation, disinformation, lies, half-truths, all kinds of stuff is out there in this world. It's part of the darkness that in this day and age we have to navigate. When we're grounded in God's Word, when we're attuned to the voice of God, we are less likely to be misled. We are less likely to find ourselves on the wrong path. The wise men were warned in a dream. They had to understand that that dream that came to them, similarly the dream that Joseph had to take Mary as his wife, that they had to decide, is this the voice of God? Is God trying to say something to me, or did I just have indigestion? We have to discern with wisdom what the voices, and there are many competing voices for our attention, which voice is from God and which are not. Part of that we do in community, and we ask friends or trusted mentors, does this sound right? I think God might be leading me in this direction. And you check it out and you ask questions. Part of it is just knowing those scriptures and knowing what did Jesus say? What did he teach? What are those specific words? I always come back to the red letters of scripture as being foundational. So Epiphany is a time for us to return to the basics: prayer, scripture, acts of service, kindness, and compassion. To remind ourselves that God has invited us on an incredible journey. The three Magi had their journey, they had their mission, and we hear their story today. Our story is still unfolding. You too have a journey that God has invited you on. And there are some missteps and some mishaps along the way. That's part of what it means to be human. But we can get back on track. We can get back to following God's path for our life. And that path is filled with goodness, filled with blessing and love and light. And when we're following that light, we are led to the place we're supposed to be. And we can be a light to one another. So let us attune our hearts and minds to the way of God, and let us follow with faith and courage. Amen.